The world celebrated Benjamin Britten's centenary this week. The revered British composer was born November 22, 1913. He's remembered for helping revive British opera with Peter Grimes, as an inspiration to children with The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, and finally, his crowning choral work from 1962, War Requiem. This is a 1963 recording with the composer himself conducting the Bach Choir, the London Symphony Orchestra, and chorus. This piece was also performed earlier this month by the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, which, of course, is led by our friend Maren Alsop. The maestro joins us now from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore. Maestro, thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh, my pleasure, Scott.
You've written a wonderful essay on the War Requiem. It's posted on our website. And you say, even at this point in your career, you've discovered a new hero in Benjamin Britten.
Well, in delving into the War Requiem and reading, there's some fantastic new biographies that have come out to celebrate the centenary, and I started understanding what an incredibly principled human being Britten was. Yeah. He was a conscientious objector during the Second World War, in the day when that was definitely not in vogue whatsoever. Yeah. He left England. He had to, of course, come back and face the government on these charges. He was openly gay in a day when that certainly was not accepted. And the crowning characteristic for me is the fact that he wrote the music he felt at a time when there was pressure to be avant-garde or to do things that were crazy and outside of the box. He stuck to his own principles about art.
Hmm. Take us through this remarkable piece, if you could, the War Requiem. The first section sounds to be filled with apprehension and worry, so let's listen a bit to that.
It does feel angst-ridden, and that's because Britten takes an interval. Now, this isn't important to know, but everybody feels it. He takes an interval that we call the tritone. In olden days, it was called the devil's interval, because it's a very, in the scheme of things, it's the ugliest interval you can have, and it requires some kind of resolution. But he dwells on it. When you hear those chimes, they're playing those two notes, the two notes outlining a tritone. And everything, and there's no resolution. So for we human beings, since we're all hotwired to react to this, we feel uncomfortable. And, you know, those bells tolling, the gongs going. So all of this adds to a sense of an ominous feeling and a sense of dread.
Yeah. The tenor soloist then begins to sing. Let's listen.
What are singing bells for these who die? Only the monsters and all of the guns. Only the stuttering rifles, rapid rattle, can patter out their hasty partisans.
Britten has brilliantly set up this structure. He has the sections of the Requiem Mass, and interspersed between them, it's essentially a song cycle for two male soloists, and they're singing texts from a poet named Wilfred Owen. And these texts are clearly anti-war. And Wilfred Owen was a decorated soldier in the First World War who, his parents got a letter on Armistice Day saying that he had been killed, 25 years old. And, you know, writing these lines like, you know, their flowers, the tenderness of silent minds, and each slow dusk a drawing down of blinds.
And each slow dusk a drawing down of blinds.
You know, a requiem is almost like a cathedral unto itself, and yet in between these pillars we have this intimate song cycle that speaks to Britain's devout objection to war.
Then the second section has a military brass fanfare. Let's listen to that.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's so powerful and evocative. For me, and I think most people have heard the Verdi Requiem, it immediately brings that dies irae from the Verdi Requiem to mind. You know, these shouting brass sort of from the rooftops. But in this case, Britain takes that association, and he also adds this element of military fanfares. And then when the chorus sings, he wants there to be some sense of discomfort. So they're singing in a meter of 7, which is not a comfortable meter for us.
Is that a signature in this work by Benjamin Britten, that he's not looking to always comfort the audience, but to lift us out of our seats sometimes?
Yes, I think, you know, he's writing music at a time, the 1960s, when, you know, you have people like Boulez and Cage writing these very avant-garde, you know, unexpected kinds of works. And he's taking a very traditional form and really just kind of bending all of the edges of it. So he's not only trying to pay homage to everyone who's passed away and honor this new cathedral that it was commissioned to inaugurate, the new cathedral, written right next to the one that had been destroyed in the Second World War. Mm-hmm. So he's got all of this agenda, but then, of course, he's got his own personal agenda, which is trying to reach out to us and challenge us in terms of our feelings and our vision about humanity and warfare.
Now, Maestro, you led the Baltimore Symphony in performances of War Requiem earlier this month. I don't know if you ever turn behind and take a look, but mm-hmm. What's audience reaction like to this work that's now half a century old?
You know, I didn't have to turn around. I could feel the audience just on the edge of their seats. There was no coughing. There was no movement. There was just, you know, they were completely engaged and engrossed in this compelling music and narrative. And at the end, there was just silence until, you know, everybody exhaled and the applause erupted. It's an amazing piece of music.
Maren Alsop is music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
And you can read the maestro's essay about Benjamin Britten's War Requiem at our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.